174 first, since I'm closer to it.
Oh, Divine, is mine.
536.
Oh, God, you.
All love the battle. Stand in the changeover if you're able, please. 218.
Sing of the beauty of mountains and hills, of the silvery stream, wind and flowers of the fair. But the place most delightful to earth can afford is the place of devotion, the house of the sweetness of day's early dawn, or the sky softening gracious when the day is just gone. But there's no other season or time can compare with the house of devotion, the season of prayer. Of youth and the rage and still for my comrades the noble and sage, but the friends that most cheer me on my rugged road are the friends of my master, the children of God. Of fame or of wealth, and the hopes that all flatter the favorites of hell. But the hope of bright glory of heaven we wish take away every other and give me but
timeshare owners, and it's just a bag of money, but we enjoy going as we can. We are getting to the age, I'm not bragging on it, but I'm 83, my wife's 83. I don't know how we got to this point, but we did. The Lord has been so gracious to us, and as I attempt to speak, I've heard Dennis said, we come to speak, not to have you all hear me. But I pray that the Lord will grant the Holy Spirit this, to come down and fill me. And when He fills me, it extends that hearing ears to you all. That's what my desire is. I'm nothing, as we all know that, and I'm not. You know, my dad was a preacher, Brother Wesley Brunson. And as I was growing up, we went to the Little Flock Cranky Baptist Church where we go now. But that's where I was raised. And Dad was pretty staunch on his preaching. And he had some pretty solid things in his brain. But the one thing that I grew up kind of feeling like I wasn't worth anything. I wasn't as good as anybody else. I didn't even ask a girl to a date until my wife asked me, I guess I asked, I accepted the dance or something. I don't know. But the Lord had just brought us in so many ways to be with so many of God's children. And something's been on my heart so much here lately. I'm a little distressed. We were talking earlier about Dennis and I, and we don't have great big congregations, and that's just fine with me. This is a congregation about what we have up at Little Talk Church in Owen County, Indiana, and been that way for quite some time. But if I'm not careful, Satan will get in my mind and say, "Well, you're complaining that your young people are not coming to church anymore in our old Baptist churches. Our children, grandchildren, are raised in that church. One time we had 20, 25 young folks every Sunday. They're not, only one right now that's attending." That bothers me. But I didn't come to get bothered. But I want us to, if the Lord will help me, this is a subject that I'm not sure I know what to do with. But it is a subject about the preeminence of Christ. Now the preeminence, if I understand that word preeminence right, all of our love, all of our efforts in this life and in our churches, is to look up and praise Jesus.
Yes.
Glorify the name of Jesus Christ every place that we're at, wherever we go. We don't have to grab people by the shoulder and drag them in. We don't have to try to convert somebody up. It's amazing how many times out at Walmart we walk down the aisle, here comes somebody, "Brother Gary, I need to talk with you." And you're ever standing talking in the aisle at Walmart. Always be ready. Mm-hmm. To respond to these people. They're in great need of help. And sometimes we just pray right there on the walls of Walmart. That's unheard of in the majority of the church, of the religious world, I'll put it that way. But this is the thing that I can't get off my mind is how we can walk in this life and have Jesus Christ preeminent first. Yeah. Above all, above everything else in our lives. That is what we're here this morning for, and that's what we should walk every day in our lives. That the Lord, He is with us every day. We know that because He dwells in here, so wherever we go, whatever we're doing, He's with us. We don't have to worry about that. He's with us. So, He took me to the book of Colossians and also to the book of Hebrews. I'll try not to, I don't know whether you have a 15-minute preacher or what. Don't count on that.
15 minutes or 15 days.
So whatever the Lord gives us, that's what I want to go with. And so if you turn to the book of Colossians, and it's on page 1347 in my Bible. Colossians is a fascinating book. Uh-huh. In my study Bible, I have a little summary of what the book's about and just some information. While you're turning there, I just want to read just a little bit about the book of Colossians. This is not by a preacher, this is for the publisher of this Bible, but it says, the book of Colossians, if Ephesians can be labeled the epistle portraying the church of Christ, then Colossians must surely be the Christ of the church. Christ of the church. Ephesians focuses on the body. Colossians focuses on the head. Uh-huh. Head of the church. Like Ephesians, the little book of Colossians divides nearly in half with the first portion of doctrinal, first and second chapters, and the second is practical time. Paul's purpose is to show that Christ is preeminent. And that's what if we don't take anything back home with us today. Remember, in your life, Christ should be preeminent.
Yes.
Above all other things. That's what my little description of preeminent meant here. Above all else. in our life. Now, that's a difficult thing, as we all know. We all have children, we have jobs, we have activities, we that things we get caught up in. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but brethren, let us put Christ first. That's what this is all about. So, preeminent, first and foremost in everything. Okay. And the Christian's life should reflect that priority. And the Christian's life should reflect that priority because believers are rooted in Him, alive in Him, hidden in Him, and complete in Him. It is utterly inconsistent for them to live life without Him.
Yes.
Clothed in His love, with His peace ruling in their hearts, they are equipped to make Christ first in every area of life. Now, I read these little summaries often because it just gives you an idea. Gives you something to think about. Well, what's Galatians all about? Well, that's just what it's about. Now, I'll try to do quite a bit of reading. I normally do. I'll try to be mindful of the time. But if you have to get up and leave, So the first chapter of the book of Galatians, I'll go through a couple of chapters, or parts of it at least. I always like to read Paul's writings, his greetings that he has to the people. Paul is a fascinating man as we read about him more and more. So in the chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints. Now, this is Paul speaking to us, as he did the saints back at that time. That's why it says left on record. This is not a storybook. No. This is left on record. This is what happened. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Not to the world. Paul's not even thinking about the world. Everybody's so concerned about what's the world doing? What are people going to go to hell about? I don't know anything about that. I can't get them to hell. I can't get them out of hell. I believe hell is real. Beyond that, I have to leave it alone. There is a lot of hell on this earth. I do know that.
Yes.
So, to the saints, faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, this is just a personal thing, but you folks would not have any idea how often over the years I have thought of grace Trinity Baptist Church here at the North City. This church has come up to me time and time and time again. So maybe this is what this is all about. I was supposed to come down here for whatever reason. And verse number 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world. This gospel has been presented to all the world. Think about that. Well, if all the world has been presented with the gospel, how come they haven't responded to it? Satan still exists. He still goes to and fro across the face of the earth seeking who he may devour. And who does he want to devour? Those who love Jesus Christ. Brethren, that is love us. I have no doubt that your love for Jesus Christ is as strong as it's ever been today. Go ahead. 20 people here, that's a great congregation. Congregation numbers just simply doesn't enter into my thought. Just, Lord is here. The Spirit, I feel the Spirit of the Lord here. I felt the Spirit in the singing. You know, there's really nothing much better that I know of in music than a cappella singing. We get all the parts. The words are experiences. The words I've written down on most of these songs are experiences from someone who went before us and penned them down. And some of us set them to music. It's the experiences. That's the beauty of the old hymn, brother. We went to a church down in Florida with my grandson. Great big humongous thing. I think there's 3,000 or 4,000 people there. And they got up on the stage and they had a bunch of young folks up there, about 10, 30 people. And boy, did they sing with a spirit. With a spirit. But I think the spirit here more powerful in the singing this morning than it did in that big congregation. I don't say this to put them down. This is their way, this is how they've been taught. But brother, we've been taught a different way. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to repeat myself a lot, because me and my glasses don't work well. I heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, it's the sixth verse, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. When do you think the day was when you heard the gospel preached? Give that some thought. Take that home with you. I joined the church in 1966. I think it's in April. I loved the Lord, but all I knew when I went up to join church, that I loved the Lord. That's all I knew. Yeah. I knew nothing about just about God. My dad was a preacher. Dad was a powerful preacher. In fact, too powerful sometimes because he got the point that from Indiana and Illinois and some in Ohio, people would come just to hear Dad preach. And they did not receive. They give Dad the glory instead of God.
Yeah.
Instead of the Holy Spirit. Why are our churches in some of these conditions today? That's one of them right there. It surely is. So, for every few of me, let's come to the church with joy.
Yes. Yes.
Joy. Happy to be here. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day you heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, this increasing in the knowledge of God, we don't learn all this knowledge of God right off the bat, do we?
No, no.
Just like I said, when I was baptized, you know what's the name? I remember most of all when I was baptized, it was in April, a little cool, water, we baptized in a creek. I remember when I come up out of that water, all I could see was a bright sunshine. The brightest light I ever seen in my life. Well, I always felt like that was the sun. It was the sun. The S-O-N sun. It was the sun. It was the bright light of Jesus Christ. And I never forgot that feeling. Now that light grew dim later on down the years where we pulled away and the Lord brought us back in His mercy. But that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We continue to learn every day that we walk in the Lord. We're here. Every time we open up our Bibles, but this is not a book like any other book.
No.
It just simply is not. Every time you open up this book, there's something new in it. And I would have thought after 30-some years, I would learn about all of it. I don't think I know as much as I did 30 years ago. Because there's always something new that affects my life today. I'll get out of the woods here sometime in a minute. So, 11th verse, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Are we willing to go through Long Suffering. James is one of my favorite books, and that first verse or the first chapter, I think, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Those temptations are tribulations in our lives.
Yes.
Count it all joy when we get into those times, because we know we have experienced those of space have been older, grown older. We've experienced difficult times. We've experienced health issues. We've experienced money issues sometimes. All kinds of things. But the Lord has always brought us through this. That's the exciting thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I can look back in my life and I can see the times that we're in dire straits. Dire straits. I had no idea where to turn or what to do. And finally, one night, at home. That's why we were still out of church at that time. The Lord brought me to my knees. Literally. And all I could do was to look up to the heavens and say, God, what would you have me to do? He said, get back to church. That's just as audible to me. That I heard that just as audible to me. Get back to church. And we did. And the Lord used us in a new way. But when did we begin to know about the Lord Jesus? It's when the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Not water baptism. I'm not against water baptism. It's good. There's something meant by water baptism. It's our acknowledging our love to Jesus Christ. But anyhow, that's when I felt like, when I went back to church, the Lord was in me in a different way than I'd ever experienced before. Oh, I love church. I love to sing. I love to hear them sing. We have parks in our churches like you do down here. Okay. I'm going to click here in the middle of something, and I'm looking. I'm going to have too much to say and not enough time to say it. Now, giving thanks unto the Father hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What is that kingdom? That's not heaven itself. That's the kingdom of heaven on this earth.
Yes.
There, of course, so many people are missing missing the boat because I can't get another word. But they want to have a good relationship with the Lord. But brother, unless we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we cannot do that. No matter how much we try. And we can't do that for somebody else. It's God's gift to us.
Yes.
To baptize us as the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, if you will. And when that happens in our life, we are new creatures. This is what Colossians is talking about, getting into. Do away with the old man. Bring on the new man. That's my words. Do away with the old. So, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, which he has done that, hath translated us into the kingdom of the dear Son. In this kingdom, on this earth, we have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we can have as much of that fellowship with him as we want to. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven. No. Well, I believe in eternal heaven. I believe in the resurrection. I believe we'll caught up. We'll meet Jesus in the clouds, and he'll deliver us to God the Father in heaven itself. But beyond that, I don't know anything about heaven. But I do know things about the kingdom of heaven right now.
Yes.
But we don't have to wait to have fellowship. We don't have to wait to talk to God. We don't have to wait to see his miracles and his happenings that come about in our lives. We don't have to wait to rejoice in gatherings.
Amen.
Had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, not through our actions, not through our doings, it's through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Brother, when we sin, and we still do sin, and we will sin as long as we're alive on this earth in some manner.
Yes.
The laws, the commandments, I'll just say the Ten Commandments, there's hundreds of commandments given, but they were not God's commandments. They were commandments of men. But these commandments that God gave Moses, they're still good.
Yes.
But you know the difference in that. I'm getting clear off my subject here. But the difference in that is when we do sin, we know we have an advocate with the Father. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about going to hell because of our sin. Because I'm not going to hell, and you're not going to hell. How can I say that in all assurance? Because I feel Jesus Christ right here. Jesus dwells in each one of us right here today. Well, Jesus deals with us now. If He lives in us now, we're not going to go to hell. So I just don't even worry about that.
No.
Nothing I can do to change it. If there is some eternal burning fire in hell, which I don't happen to believe, but if there is, that's okay. That's nothing. It's none of my business. But I know there is an eternal heaven.
Yes.
Because we have an earnest of our inheritance right now in the kingdom of heaven that Jesus set up for our benefit as we walk in this time world. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. It's another gift that He gives to us. And then it goes on, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God.
Amen.
The firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Mm-hmm. No other purpose.
There you go.
And He is before all things. That's what this is talking about. And He is before all things. Jesus. And by Him, all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. Amen. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that might have the preeminence.
Yes.
Being supreme above all. Yes. I had to write that down in this little thing, but I can't remember nothing anymore. But that just really, that preeminence is such a word.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the meaning of it, or mean anything, until I turned back there and looked in that summary. Being supreme above all.
Yes.
All things. Everything. Now, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. We ought to find great peace and joy in that understanding of that. Being reconciled by the blood of Jesus. In the body, 22nd verse, in the body of flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. So if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Then there's a semicolon in my Bible here, and it takes us into a little different direction. But whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Mm-hmm. Paul didn't go out seeking this ministry job.
No.
It's not a job. Minister's work, if you will. It's a work. Okay. Twenty-third verse, I guess, is where I'm at. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul says now, who now rejoice in my suffering. He rejoices in his own suffering. And boy, he had a bunch of them. And who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And again, he's speaking to those at Colossae, the believers. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation the commission, if you will, dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is now made manifest, made known to who? The world? No, to the saints of God, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want to slip over to here just see, I'm not going to get to Hebrews, and that's okay. There's so much here in Colossians, but that's where I'll start. I just want to verse 4. Here's one of my concerns. My concerns, I've already told you about our young folks. They're being drawn away. Mm-hmm. They're drawn away by Satan, brother. Yeah. Now, people don't like to hear talk about Satan, but Satan is real and Satan is still alive.
Yes.
But he is not the utmost in control. Mm-hmm. God is in control. Jesus. So, I want to go. This is subheadings that I got in my Bible here. So, it says in this fourth verse, the beginning of it says, freedom from enticing words. Now, young people especially can be enticed so easily. We all have been enticed somewhere down the line, I'm sure, that of things that we should not be participating in.
Mm-hmm.
That's our nature.
Mm-hmm.
Our nature. The power of Satan, if you will entice us completely away from the church. The fellowship of the brethren and the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Fourth verse, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfast of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Seventh verse, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith,
mm-hmm,
as you have been taught. Now, we have been taught over the years, brother. We've been taught about the faith. We have been taught about Jesus Christ. Some of these old preachers go back and say, but some of those were pretty hard on people. Well, people didn't hear any better that way than they do now as a whole. But rooted and built up. We must be rooted in the faith. Does your faith wane sometimes? Does it try to go away? Your faith? Sometimes we get in a state of mind and we think, I'm not too sure there is a God up there in heaven. In fact, I'm not too sure there's a heaven up there. So if there's not a God up there, then there sure isn't a Jesus. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we can be enticed by Satan. The nature of it.
Yes.
We're full of that.
Yes.
But we have something powerful, more powerful than Satan. That is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Now, eighth verse. Okay. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening. This is nothing new, folks.
Mm-hmm.
This has gone through, the situation has gone ever since Jesus Christ came in the world, at least. Beware lest any man spoil you, rob you, this is what it says in mind, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. After the tradition of men, this is what's happening to our young people.
Yeah.
The traditions of man seem so enticing.
Mm-hmm.
My son-in-law, Brother Kurt, he was very active at Little Stop Church when he was there. But he has gotten a job. I don't have any idea how much money the man makes. They've never felt free to tell us, and it's none of my business, but I know he makes money. Well, that can be enticing. But I just have to leave it. That's just an example that I can use it for. After the tradition of man, after the rudiments or the principles of the world, what are we seeing in the world today? Men are making themselves gods.
Yeah.
And so many men are worshiping those false gods. I don't have to speak names, but it don't make any difference because it's happening all over. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, going to the third. No, I've got a couple more. I've got some more freedoms. Let's talk about freedom for a little bit. The three verses I first read for you. You have freedom right now. You have freedom from enticing words. And I just read freedom from vain philosophy. Now, we have freedom from the judgment of men. Man does not have to judge me. God is my judge. Man does not have to judge me. And I do not have to walk around this earth, walk in this land, feeling that people have judged me on everything I do. Am I doing everything right? Absolutely not. But I know that. I know when I do it. And I pay for it when I do it. You know what I mean? So, I like these little subheadings they put there. Freedom from the judgment of men. These are powerful things. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
Not bodily circumcision. Circumcision of the heart. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Raised Him who? Jesus. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Take that home with you, brother. We have been forgiven already of all of our trespasses. The ones we've already committed and the ones we will commit in the future. Because we will commit some more in the future. But when we commit those, we don't have to fear going to hell, as I said. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. We talked about that somewhat. That was against us. The ordinances was a rule. These ordinances here that are talking about, I don't think it's necessary to talk about the Ten Commandments, although they were ordinances given by God. But so many ordinances that are given by man. And blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. The lone law. What was the punishment for most things that was done under the old law? Death. The old law brought death. There wasn't any joy in the old law. There wasn't. And there still isn't. You can put your Ten Commandments out here in front of the church house. I don't care. But what people look at is not what they're about. My opinion. You understand? Okay. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Now, 15th verse, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. 18th verse. This little subheading says, freedom from improper worship. Now, only my opinion, and maybe I should repeat it, but
improper worship is that worship that men worship the things of the world. Mm-hmm. Men worship other men. Men worship things. They worship happenings. They worship everything in the world except Jesus Christ. That's what this is talking about. Freedom from improper worship. We have the power within us to overcome all that. So, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Now, I think worship of angels is talking about the preachers. How many churches worship the pastors? Heard a bunch of them. Thank you. And I think that's what that angel is talking about right there. Humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his flesh and mind, and not holding the head, Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. The next one is freedom from the doctrine of man. Which we've been talking about. Man has a doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
There's even churches, preachers get up and preach. All you've got to do is give me the money you've got, but you give me that money and God will give you all the other money that you need. That is false doctrine, brother. That's a flat out lie. But we have a freedom from that. We have Jesus with us all the time. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, 21st, from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?
Subject yourself.
But we're subject to one law. Love God supremely.
Yes.
And love your neighbor
as
yourself.
Yes.
That's the law we're to walk by.
Yes.
That's the law we're to live by.
Yes.
Is that easy all the time? Of course it is not. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which all are to perish with the using. As the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of flesh. Third chapter, first verse. If you then be risen with Christ, if you have been risen with Christ, if you can feel Christ in you, and I believe we can, and I believe we do, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. We are dead. We are to become dead to the things of man. We are to become dead to the things of the world. We are to become dead of worshiping these false doctrines or false men.
Yes.
We're not dead to Jesus Christ. We walk with Him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Amen. In glory. Now, what are we looking at here? Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. I'm going to leave Hebrews for another day. Well, there's some good stuff in Hebrews.
Yes.
You know, I used to be afraid to even open up the book of Hebrews. It scared me to death. But one day I got to reading that book, and the Lord opened up some understanding to me of the book of Hebrews. It's all about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Our high priest, the most high priest. That's what Hebrews is all about. And that right now, I just love the book of Hebrews. I still don't understand it all, but that's what it's all about. Now, this is what this is talking about here. It's talking about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go ahead and just, where it talks about putting off the old man and the new man, and we'll finish here with most of that. Third chapter, first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Now, the next one is put off the old man. This is a difficult job. This is a difficult labor to put off the old man. It says in here to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. Well, that word leads to mortician, but kill, if you will. Put to death. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, the earthly things, and those are fornication. This is not necessarily in a sexual way. We fornicate against Jesus Christ time and time again.
Yes. Spiritual form. Spiritual.
We profess to have Jesus Christ as our husband. As our, we love our husband, Jesus Christ. But yet we go out and find another, I'll just say church, if you will. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, these children, once you are disobedient, I'm not talking anything about who is going to be in heaven and who is not. No. Who is a child of God and who is not. Because I don't know who is a child of God. But I know those who are not, many, many have rejoiced this relationship I'm talking about with Jesus. Many of them have fallen away to the things of the earth. They don't have the relationship with Jesus right now. That's the children of disobedience. Mm-hmm. I believe this book is written to the children of God.
Yes.
It's not written to the world. 7th verse, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. We lived in these times of fornicating and uncleanness, ineffection, on and on. We've lived in those times. And we can still do it again.
Yes.
In the which you walked sometime, at one time, when you lived in them. But now, you also put off all these things. But now, you also put off all these things. A semicolon.
Yes.
And it says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, the old man's deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's beautiful to me.
Yes.
So in the talker, it talks about put on the new man. You put off the old man, put on the new man. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. How do I want to put this? God has chosen, we know, before the world was. He has chosen everyone that's going to be in heaven. They are children of God. That's the reason we can't take that very far.
Yes.
But put on there as the elect of God. Now, I happen to believe that there is an elect of God. We have, there's names people call it. But God has his elect of every child of God. But also he has an elect family within that child, that elect. It's like a big wheel with a little wheel within a big wheel. The non-elect, this is big wheel, the elect of God are those whom the Lord has drawn in to the Holy Spirit, drawn into the kingdom while on this earth. That's what I see that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to agree with me, but I just know that as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy. These are what we're supposed to put on as the new man. Put there on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. He did forgive us, didn't he? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. That charity is a fascinating word. A very simple way to use it is love in action.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying I love you, brother. Yeah. Not loving, not loving you, sister. I love you. But show it. Words are cheap.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of words out there. I don't mean a whole bunch of words. And above all things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. Perfectness is simply, or perfect, the meaning for that is mature. We grow in maturity.
Yes.
Every day we walk in this earth, we grow. Our understanding of our God above grows. And it becomes more precious.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more joyful to get up on Sunday morning, drive an hour and a half or 2 hours to church. We went to Concord Church, we drove about 3 hours each way. I'm not bragging, I'm not complaining. The Lord made a way for us to do it. But, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. God bless you. I thank you for having us daily. So precious. God bless you.